for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Thursday evening service of September the 1st, 1994, of the Labor Day camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the Thursday evening service.
When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dreamed. Then was our mouths filled with laughter and our tongues with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord's done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams of the south. He that soweth in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hear the word of the Lord. For the Lord would say unto you, you are my people. Yea, and I am inviting you to come into my presence. Yea, for I desire to draw you to me in a tight circle, saith the Lord. Yea, and I shall be in the midst to direct thee, yea, and to anoint thee, and I shall bring impossibilities to the possible for you, saith the Lord, thou God. Yea, for too long now, my people that are called by my name have gone to and fro, up and down, in good conscience and in good faith, yea, but without purpose and without direction. But that was good for you for yesterday, but in the future, in your future, yea, the Lord thy God plans to set up his government right within your heart, right within your mind, within your spirit. Yea, he plans to claim you both spirit, soul, and body. Yea, he wants to direct your mind. He wants to direct your steps. Yea, and I tell you now, saith the Lord, that I shall build in you a place of worship. Yea, that thou can meet me. Yea, and we can commune, fellowship together, saith the Lord. I tell you now that it is my plan to claim you from head to foot, all over, and all that is you is mine, saith the Lord. Yea, and it is my plan to direct your steps from morning until night, saith the Lord. Yea, I do not hesitate to tell you that I shall not cease to work with you, yea, and to exhort you, yea, and to lift you up, yea, and to set you forward. I shall not cease to work in you until the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of your Lord and of his Christ, saith the Lord. Yea, even now does the Spirit of the Almighty hover over this place, yea. Yea, and even now the Lord has marked off some boundaries whereby that his Shekinah glory will hover over this place for the entire meeting. Yea, and exploits will be done. Yea, thou shalt go forth in the power of the Almighty. Yea, thou shalt do exploits that are beyond thee, saith the Lord, thou God. And by this you shall know that you have a special anointing. Yea, that the Lord has moved in you, on you, and through you. Yea, and the Lord desires to continue this operation, yea, until the change comes, saith the Lord. Yea, I know that it is a good thing that thou dost gather together on occasions like this. Yea, and share what the word of the Lord is saying, what the Lord is doing in all quarters. Yea, know that there is a mighty move in the land tonight. Yea, there is a mighty move of God in the earth. When iniquity doth abound, the grace of God doth much more abound, saith the Lord. Yea, you are my people, and any weapon that is formed against you, yea, shall fail, saith the Lord. Yea, those that plot and plan your overthrow will never accomplish it, saith the Lord. If God be for you, who can be against you? Or if he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? All kinds of deliverances. Yea, set us free from bondage. Yea, open the prison doors and set us free. Yea, for the Spirit of the Almighty would not have you bound. You have not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby you cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit itself beareth witness with your spirit that you are the sons of God. If children of God, then you're heirs to God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. If so be that we suffer with him, we shall also be glorified together.
Oh, hallelujah.
I reckon the sufferings of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. And I tell you, my people, this is something for you to think on. Contemplate this. Meditate on it. Yea, and know that there is a creation that is groaning. Yea, groaning to be delivered from the bondage of this creation of corruption. Yea, and to be delivered into the glorious liberty of the sons of God.
Hallelujah.
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 Yea, I tell you now, saith the Lord, that I am elevating you to another dimension. Hallelujah. To another dimension. Yea, and how shall you know when you have been elevated into the next dimension will be? You'll have a special anointing for the occasion. You'll do that you could not do before. You'll know that you didn't know. Yea, an enlargement will come. You will have a great capacity for receiving, retaining, and giving out the word of the Almighty. For it is a living word, and I've called you to life. Yea.
Oh, yes, hallelujah.
I tell you now, my people, it is not a day to make a covenant with death.
Amen.
But it is a day to covenant with the Lord for life. I give you life. Yea, and the enemy threatens you with death. Yea, but be not afraid. Pay no attention to the threats of the enemy. Yea, for he cannot move against you. Yea, unless I give him permission, saith the Lord. Yea, if God be for you, who is he that can be against you? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, O Lord. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. You'll lift up your voices together. You'll sing the praises of God. Play it on the instrument here, Brother Bill. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yea, and many shall be blessed as you strum the music, yea, and make melody. And sang of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yea, for the Lord hath done great things. And he's great to be praised. And he loves the praises of his people, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yea. Yea. So therefore thou shalt come into my temple. Yea. Ah, you are the temple, and I'm inviting you to come into the temple, saith the Lord. Yea. Understandest thou this? Yea, surely you will, because the Spirit of the Almighty shall give you understanding like you've never had before.
Hallelujah.
It's a great day, a good day to live, yes, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
For the Lord liveth in Zion. Yea, the Lord is fire, and the Lord God shall come forth in these meetings in fire and power, saith the Lord. Yea, I shall cause the enemy to flee. I shall cause the enemy to run. For I, the Lord thy God, shall come forth in a people in this hour, and I shall stand up within thee, saith the Lord, as you take your authority. For yea, I say, God dwelleth in Zion, and God is a consuming fire this night, and he shall cause the enemy to run. He shall cause the enemy to flee. So lift up your hands, lift up your hearts, and know that God's among you. And God shall do a great thing among you in these meetings, saith the Lord. For yea, I, the Lord, have ordained, I have spoken, and I shall accomplish, I shall do that which I have spoken, saith the Lord. So fear not and fret not. Know that God is in charge, and the enemy knoweth this, and the enemy's on the run.
Hallelujah! Well, this evening, we're going to basically introduce everybody here that's going to minister this weekend, and there may be some ministry that will be here or is here that will minister that I will not introduce because I'm not aware maybe yet that they're going to minister. There's no program here except we come to praise the Lord and to sit under the ministry and to hear the word of the Lord and put into practice what we hear, that to set the captives free. And we gather together under the household of the Lord, the household of faith. We come, we are the household of faith. And as we gather together, we are the temple of the living God. And it's unto him who is Jesus Christ, who is King of kings and Lord of lords, we've come to praise and to worship, to magnify and declare that he is Lord. Dr. Null, don't go very far away. You're first on the rostrum here. But it's a privilege to have you come and worship with us. We care not what denomination you represent, if you represent one or don't represent one. That's immaterial to us. All that matters is that Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. We are the family of the Lord. A denomination separates us. And we don't want to be separated. We want to be part of that family of the Lord. And we come to declare that we're part of that family, regardless of where you come from or what your background is. If Jesus is Lord of your life, you're part of the family of the living God. And we welcome you, and we thank you for coming and praising and visiting with us, and trust that you'll go home different than you came, that you'll never be the same after being here at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds. We've come here to praise and to worship. That's the purpose of this place, and to see the captives set free. And we believe that that's going to happen in your life as you listen and as you hear the word of the Lord. As it comes forth through the ministries who the Lord has brought here at this time to minister. We have camp meeting. The next camp meeting will be Thanksgiving. We'll have a big turkey dinner here. Thanksgiving at noon. And then in the afternoon. And then we will have services. Robert Cameron will be one of our speakers. Most of these men sitting here, if not even all of them, but most of them will be back here for camp meeting at Thanksgiving. Then at Christmas, we have a week of camp meeting. And then we go down to Passover. And then Memorial and 4th of July and back to Labor Day. That's the schedule. And before one camp meeting is over, we're looking forward to the next and the next ahead, planning that the Spirit of the Lord will be here to minister through the word of the Lord unto you. Dr. No is in charge of our morning prayer meeting. He's from Salina, Kansas. He has a baby doctor's clinic, a baby clinic up there. And he takes time off from the clinic every camp meeting to come here and minister to you who come to the campground. He is in charge of the 6 o'clock morning prayer meeting, and you'll be blessed by being here. Then he's also in charge of the men's meeting at 1:15, and he'll be ministering once or twice in the afternoon as well while he's here in the afternoon main deliverance service. So I'll ask him to greet you here and not just say hello and sit down. I want him to say more than that. Dr. Norrell.
Glenn is always very gracious. I am a practicing pediatrician. God called me as an intercessor about 10 years ago. So what I do is I intercede. And I would like to invite all of you to prayer meeting in the morning. We start about 6 o'clock, and we invite you to come down, and Jesus is Him. And we pray for the campground, and we pray for our country, and we pray for missionaries, and we pray for the church, and we pray for your lost relatives and for your sick friends and your relatives, and then we'll pray for you too. And I just invite you to come down and stand, because the way to get your needs met is to pray for other people. As you stand and intercede for others, God will meet you where you are. And so I just invite you to come down and meet Jesus in the morning at 6 o'clock.
Dr. Noel came here 10 or 12 years ago, reluctant. Why was he here? And the Lord has made him a great blessing to us. Amen. Will the Coffee family come up here and say hello, please? They will be ministering in at least one afternoon teaching and deliverance session. And we appreciate the ministry that the Lord has given to Brother and Sister Coffee to minister the word of the Lord in deliverance.
Praise the Lord. We're so glad to be here. I was saying he was awful bossy tonight.
That's my job.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're so glad to be here. I always come to get refreshed, because we minister all the time, and we come over here to get ministered too. And I just praise the Lord. We're in deliverance. And we minister a lot to a mission in Memphis, and I've been going to Atlanta, and I'm going to go to Dallas to a mission there and minister. And the Lord has just opened the door to, we're just having a lot of ministry to the street people. They're bringing them in to us. They're bringing them to our church twice a week, and then we're ministering at the mission itself 3 times a week, and then we have a church. We're kind of busy, but we do praise the Lord.
He's got a job.
Yeah, he works full time. Amen. And it's real good. The Lord has really blessed us, and we're seeing a lot of people get delivered, and people coming off the street. They bring them into the mission, and then we're ministering deliverance to them and teaching them the word and teaching them how to stand. And these men and women, and we minister to the women also, that are getting jobs and being able to hold down jobs. And we praise the Lord for what the Lord's doing, and we thank the Lord for the opportunity to do it. And it's all, we have to do deliverance. They cannot make it without deliverance. That's true. Praise the Lord. It's right. Jim and I have been under such a vicious attack in the last 2 weeks. It's just been unreal. And he's just getting over sickness. But I thank God for deliverance, because through deliverance, we got him healed. And I praise the Lord for it. But it's good to be here. And we just love Irma and Glenn. We love coming here and being around everyone. And we just thank the Lord for this place.
The Lord gave her the deliverance ministry. I have the overseeing of the church, a pastor of the church. She's co-pastor, incidentally. But he gave her the deliverance ministry. He didn't give it to me. But I stand with her completely in it. Now, the Word of God is real, and I think most of you know that, but do you know that if it doesn't have a meaning, a personal meaning for you, it's no good to you? Now, we ministered, brought a lady up here tonight to minister, and the Lord quickened to me while she was here, and I'm going to, with liberty, do a little more. Over in Hebrews, in the first chapter, in the 14th verse, it talks about angels. You believe in angels?
Yes.
We have used them so many times that it's unreal the way we've used them. We have a lady that we've had to bring back to our church numbers and numbers and numbers of times, and we always send the angels to get her, and they always bring her in. The demons drive her out. She doesn't know where she's going. She doesn't know where she is, but we always send the angels, and the angels return her. Let's pray that son, the angels are going to bring him back to Lake Hamilton this week. Not home. Let's make it hard for God. Let's let God do the work. Can you believe with me? I need some faith here. I believe. I need some people to believe with me. Heavenly Father, we come tonight lifting up this family, this mother, this son, And Father, we've come standing on your word. You said if we would call upon you to loose the angels, to come through you to bring to put the angels to work for us, you said they were ministering spirits sent to minister. Sent forth to minister for those that shall be heirs of salvation. So therefore, Lord, we call for the angels tonight to bring this son home, into the home here, into Lake Hamilton. Father, you know where he is. The angels know exactly where he is. We ask, Father, that they minister to him. They put him on a plane and bring him here before this week is out. And we just thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen.
Amen. I have something else I want to say. I won't preach, but I do want to say this. We have the angels of the Lord encamp around about those that fear him. And people tell us that we can't use the angels. And I know we ask for the Lord to send them. But God's angels are around those that fear him, and he keeps your protection. You keep the angels around yourself. And I want to just tell you this. The Lord quickened it to me as he was praying. I was ministering the other night to a lady, and this spirit in her had manifested and was talking. And he told me, this demon told me, that he would have killed me a long time ago if God's protection wasn't around me. And I said, you know, I sure am glad to hear that. I know it is, and I appreciated the demon telling me this. And he said, but listen. He said, but you still let your guard down, and we get through the hedge. He said, when you get angry, you leave a hole in your fence. When you sin, you open the door, and we come through your hedge. And he said, we would have already killed you had it not been for the angels. And I tell you what, it's really made. I knew this. See, I know this. But, you know, we let a lot of things slip. And the devil likes to make you angry. You say, well, you know, the word says, and I hear this all the time. The scripture says, be angry and sin not. That's what the scripture says. But let me tell you, there's always somebody waiting to come through while you're angry. We live in proof of it. But I just wanted to say this to you because I thank God for the angel ministering spirits. The Lord showed us years ago in deliverance that without the protection of the angels, and I'll tell you this, I fell, slipped down a bank. Thursday I was cutting my grass. I'm 67 years old. I cut an acre of ground, my yard. And I slid, my feet went out from under me, and I slipped down the bank and went under, would have had my feet cut off in the lawnmower had not God's protection. I hit the lawnmower, knocked it out of the way, and I praise the Lord for it, and I know that my angels kept me from being harmed.
Hallelujah.
You have not because you ask not, and when you ask amiss. And if you believe that God will send the angels when you call for them, they come. But you have to believe. Amen?
Well, we get a little preaching from teaching from everybody. We put it all to good use. Amen. Amen. Brother Tommy Cook has been ministering here for a long time. He came here by unusual circumstances also, but the Lord sent him to bless the campground. And what a blessing he and his dear wife are to Irma and I and to all of you who have heard him or listened to him on tape. Anyway, he's a blessing. And Tommy, come and minister to us for a little while.
Praise the Lord. Let's turn our Bibles to Psalms. Lord, give me a couple messages sitting there tonight. It's good to be in where the anointing is. Let me know that God wants us to have a hearing ear. There's a scripture, hold your place here in Psalms, look in Proverbs here with me as well. Look in chapter 21 of Proverbs, verse 28. We'll go that direction, Lord. How many believe you need to hear God tonight? Amen. How many have heard God today? Amen. Amen. Look at verse 28 of chapter 21 of Proverbs. A false witness shall perish. But the man that heareth speaketh constantly. I know that when Jack can come up here on the spur of the moment and start prophesying, he's hearing from God. Amen. Or anybody else as God's using. And so God wants us to be able to speak constantly as we hear the Holy Ghost. Amen? And so I thank God for hearing ear. The Bible said God has made both the hearing ear and the seeing eye.
And we don't have to be in a famine tonight. A lot of people are in America. And the reason in Amos 8 they were in a famine, because they refused to hear the prophets. How many believe we need to hear the prophets tonight? And not only did Amos become that plumb line, God sent him among the people, but, and we know a plumb line is to check your walls if it's straight or crooked. Well, how many know there's some crooked walls tonight? But if we hear the prophets, straighten up our walls, we'll be blessed. We'll not be in a famine. But you can, if you don't hear the prophets and don't straighten your wall up, you'll be in a famine. And so I choose not to walk in a famine. I choose to walk in a place where I can hear God. Can you say amen? In Acts 1:2, how many know that Jesus gave commandments by and through the Holy Ghost? He's still giving commandments by the Holy Ghost to those that are listening. Amen? And I thank God for the anointing tonight, the Holy Spirit, as Jack prophesied tonight. And I do believe that God is going to take us into a new dimension, Jack. And I thank God for that new anointing that's coming. Hallelujah. But how many know there's responsibility without a new anointing? You've got to hear God and obey God. It's one thing to hear, but you've got to obey the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? Amen. Look in the scripture with me and over in Jeremiah 18, just a couple of scriptures here I just want to share, and then I'll sit down. Praise the Lord. It's hard for me to sit down, any preacher. Jeremiah 18, but I'm willing to. Praise the Lord. I've learned to sit. I've learned to speak. I mean, oh, we need to be instant in season, come on and out of season. In chapter 18 of Jeremiah, I mean, oh, Jeremiah was a prophet. And God said in verse 2, look at it, arise and go down. And most of us don't want to go down. Come on. But if you're going to go up, come on, you got to go down. How many believe that tonight? If you're going to go up, you got to go down. He said, go down to the potter's house. And there I will cause thee to hear my words. Hallelujah. I may believe God's got a potter's wheel tonight. Amen. I may have been on it lately. Let me tell you, there's some of you here that will never go through some tests you've been through, because you've come through them. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. There's some things possibly you've come through, you'll never go through again, but there's some that you're facing yet. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. That word wheels means a midwife stool. Something's about ready to be birthed. I may believe God's birthing something in all of us tonight. As we go through these testings, as we go through the trials. I mean, know we overcome by coming through, not coming out of them. We're all looking for the rapture, but how many know in Revelation there was a great multitude came out of great tribulation that no man could number. Amen? Verse 3-4, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make it. Praise the Lord. How many believe that we have an idea what we're going to be in God, but really most of us don't know? Amen? When I started out in the ministry about 30 years ago, I thought God was calling me just to be an evangelist, because back then I just preached and preached. But then he began to build the teaching ministry into me. How many know it takes a longer time to begin to build the teaching ministry into a person than an evangelist ministry? We can all get out here and evangelize a little bit, learn one scripture or two, but it takes time for teaching ministry to be built into a person. Can you say amen? Amen. O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in mine hand, O house of Israel. And we are Israel today. How many believe that? Amen. And we're in God's hand. We're in the potter's hand. And God's shaping, God's molding us into that vessel that he desires us to be. Verse 7, at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation, and so forth. Now look down to verse 18, what they said about this word. The word came to Jeremiah in verse 5 that God said it would. Verse 18, then they said, come and let us devise devices against Jeremiah, for the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come and let us smite him with the tongue, and let us not give heed to any of his words. Well, those words were not his words. Those words were words from the Holy Ghost. And when we reject the word of the Lord that comes to us, we reject God. Amen? And how many know you cannot separate the messenger from the message? Haggai chapter 1, he was the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message, it says. Haggai 1:13. We need the message of God today. Amen? Regardless of who God's going to use. Somebody say amen. Praise the Lord. Now turn back to Psalms just a minute.
I was going to start there, and I just want to touch on the scripture here, too. Look over in Psalms 22 with me. Praise the Lord. I appreciate the word of the Lord coming tonight. I like to hear the Holy Ghost. I said, I like to hear the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
How many know we're in a battle?
Amen.
Let me ask you, where's the battle at tonight? It's in the mind. How do you know it's in your mind? Because that's where all the trouble is. What are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it, huh? We've got to be changed, isn't that right?
Right.
How many know God saved you in your spirit, but now your soul's got to get saved? In Revelation, how many know the man-child, it says, was born in Revelation 12:4? And that birthing's in the soul. They had come into the mind of Christ, had been sealed. God took them to the throne. There was war in heaven, and God brought in the kingdom through the overcomers. Hallelujah. And the church goes into the wilderness. It's time to get our souls saved. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Look at this verse now. Deliver my soul, verse 20 of 22 of Psalms. Deliver my soul from the sword. Now, I shared that message Sunday in our fellowship. There's a sword in the soul. And it comes many ways. That sword comes many ways. How many know that oppression's a sword of the enemy?
Right.
Come on, depression, heaviness, that old dark spirit.
Amen.
How many know God didn't give it to us? No, we fought it many times. A lot of us from our background, bloodline, many our sins, whatever. But he said, deliver my soul from the sword. Now, one of the way the sword comes is to walk contrary to God, Leviticus 26 tells us. And when we walk contrary to God, that means we don't want to walk in the Spirit with God. We don't want to keep in step with God. We want to go our way and do our thing. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling. Your soul is a darling. That word's a feminine word. How many know your soul's a female? And God wants a marriage, come on, between the soul and the spirit. Christ dwells in my spirit, and that soul must submit to that inner man. And actually, there's actually a marriage. It's like in the natural. Husband and wife come together. They go in the bedroom. They bring forth children or fruit in the natural. And as your soul learns to submit to Christ in your spirit, they become one, and you begin to bear forth fruit. Hallelujah. God wants a marriage right in you tonight. As the soul must submit to the spirit, the wife to the husband, the church to Christ. I mean, it's pleasing in God's sight. Amen. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling, from the power of the dog. And look back at verse 16. The dogs are those who compassed Jesus and crucified him. I can say a lot about the dogs tonight. Bible talks about them coming in Psalm 59 around the city, surrounding the city. How many know where the city is set on a hill that cannot be hid? And the dog speaks of a lot of things I could go into. Look over with another scripture. Look in Psalms 35 real quick. In verse 35:17. Lord, how long? You ever said that? Lord, how long will thou look on? I mean, oh, sometimes it seems like God's hiding. And he does sometimes. It said he left Hezekiah to try to know what was in his heart. How many has ever felt God left you? But Jesus said, I'll never leave you. Come on. I'll be with you to the end of the age. Lord, how long will thou look on? Rescue my soul from their destructions. My darling, come on, from the lions. Now, he said dogs, now he's saying lions. Well, how many know they're in the same crowd? Now, look over here in Psalms 4, this last scripture I'm going to give you. Psalms 4, I believe it is, I want to share here with you. Praise God. Psalms 7. Now, look at Psalm 7, I'll close with this, but look down to verse 2. Well, let's start with verse 1. O Lord, my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me. Now look at the next verse. Lest he tear my soul. Your soul can be torn. Like a lion. Now that's the last scripture we saw. David was crying out about the lions. And he said, lest he tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces while there is none to deliver. How many's ever went through a test in your soul and you were somebody's around to deliver you and help you? Let me tell you can't go to every town, every church and find deliverance. Somebody say amen. Now, what happens when my mind is rent?
Let me tell you, it disrupts your home many times and marriage. Are you hearing me? It affects families. It produces many times insanity. How many know the Bible said he makes diviners mad? And those that move in divination and witchcraft lays hands on you, they impart a spirit of insanity. We need some real discerning today who lays hands on us and who don't lay hands on us. I mean, that's in every camp. I don't care where it's at. We need discerning from God because you can get hit wherever you go if the wrong person lays hands on you. I know by experience it happens. Number three, how many know that it ties up your time when someone in the family, soul's been fragmented very severely? It ties up your time and energy. Come on, amen? Amen. It ties people to medical doctors. And I'm not against medical doctors, but it ties people to doctors. It ties people to psychiatrists. How many know psychiatrists is not the answer? No, it isn't. It ties you to medicine. That's not the answer. But thank God for medicine, because at times if we don't have faith, sometimes we'll die if we don't have some medicine. Come on. How many know we can become fanatics the other way too? Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Praise God. And it hinders faith in God. In Ecclesiastes, he said, the crooked cannot be made straight. But in Isaiah, he said, the crooked can be made straight. If you're thinking of a beast mind, listen, your situation will never be healed. But if you hear the Holy Ghost and go according to the Word, you can be healed. You can be delivered. Come on. Somebody say amen. And it produces an earthly death many times. Amen? It surely does. Praise God. How many know our bloodline affects us? Mine affects me, yours affects you, and we have to deal with that and repent and deal with that situation. And lastly, how many know when the enemy fragments your soul, he substitutes something of him, and it's surely not of the Holy Spirit. And we have to be able to discern, do I have the same mind I used to have? Can I think like I used to have? Do I have a sharp, quickening mind like I used to have? Can I remember like I used to? Let me tell you something. When we can't, something's happened to us. Can you say amen? Let's pray just a minute. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, my God. Praise you, my Jesus. Lord, I thank you for saving our souls. I thank you for renewing our minds. I thank you, Father, for doing a work in our mind, will, emotions, and desires. I thank you for sealing our souls in this hour. I thank you, Lord, as we become that intercessor, you will mark us, you will seal us in our foreheads by the Holy Ghost. And I bless your people, and I thank you for each one. I pray for the ministers here, Lord, each one that's going to share. And I ask you to pour out your blessing upon them, Lord. I ask you to minister revelation to and through them, Lord God. I pray for Glenn and Irma in this camp, that you would bless them, encourage them, and God, watch over them, I pray, in the name of Jesus. And I bless them in Jesus' name. I want to say one other thing. You know, Glenn said something about money. I've never heard Glenn get up here and rape people the cold for not giving. I've never seen Glenn get out of the way in asking people for money. But I've been in a lot of places that you were ashamed to go back because of that. And so I want to commend Brother Glenn. God bless you.
Praise the Lord.
Well, praise the Lord. 1, 2, 3. I guess we're about half down the road here tonight. Okay. Well, Brother John Fletcher came and ministered to us last camp meeting, and he's going back for this camp meeting. And I'm going to ask him to come and take some time, just as Brother Tommy has and as the others have. And we'll get down to the end eventually, and whoever's last will close the service out. We're going to hear from all of them here for a little bit. Brother John Fletcher from Indiana.
Well, praise the Lord. We came to the camp for the first time in July, and I came to be ministered to, and I ended up getting to minister and had that privilege. But I you know, looks sometimes are deceiving. I may know that tonight. And we had a lady, and she goes to my church, and she came forward for deliverance, and there were some folks working with her, and they were having a difficulty in lodging that she had. And over here, there was this lovely little lady who's very quiet. At least that's the attitude that she gives around here anyway. And and she came up, and Irma, that's her name, And Irma leaned down, and I mean, it was just, it was unbelievable. And I've read a lot of books about people who would talk about their ministries in deliverance, and there's always somebody like a Derek Prince and someone like a Winworth like that. You know, and they would talk about how in just a snap of the fingers, you know, it's like the demons would come to attention. And that's exactly what happened that afternoon as they ministered to my praise leader. Her husband's our praise leader. And Irma says, "You spirit of," and boom, it was gone. So what I'm saying to that is this, that folks, if you came here for deliverance, I want you to have an attitude, an anticipation, an expectation, a faith that not Irma or Glenn or Jack or Speed or Tommy or the Coffees or myself or Bill or anyone else, as Bill alluded to as he was leading us in song, it's not them that's going to deliver you. Experience does come into it, trust me, I know. But I want to tell you something. If you'll come in anticipation, you won't leave here the way you came. Now, I want to take just a few minutes here to share something with you, and I'd like to ask a question of everybody. Can I take this off of here? I get nervous. Who can tell me some of the things we sung about? Anybody? Just anybody. What were some of the things we sung about? Not you, Bill. Huh? The kingdom? Anybody else? He touched me. He touched me. Anybody else? Joy? Dancing? Praising? Something about Zion? About 4 years ago at our church where I pastor, the Lord told me about 6 months before our praise leader, he said that our praise leader stepped down. He told me one night that he was going to step down. And he said, "You begin to pray right now for me to, that I'll bring someone else." And so I began to pray. And sure enough, before the end of the year, before 6 months was up, just with no incident, no nothing, he just says, "You know, I've been doing this for 12 years and I don't want to do it anymore." And so he just quit doing it. We didn't have a praise leader. And I said, "Lord, who is it?" And he says, "Thou art the man." And so for 2 years, I led praise at our church. And I want to tell you something. A song leader, a praise leader, has an anointing on them. And one who is not a praise leader or song leader does not have an anointing on them. I know that from personal experience. I love to praise and worship the Lord, don't you? And I'd be up there leading the people in praise and trying to remember to click the button and turn a page because the song and lead. And I'd be on one tune and they'd be on another. And I'd be singing one verse and they'd be singing another. And I'm going to tell you something. There is a man here by the name of Bill Goodson. I'm going to tell you, he has an anointing on him to lead us in praise and worship. And I want to show you the significance of that. Of what you're doing when you come here, and every meeting that we have, every major meeting that we have here at Lake Hamilton, we sing praise and worship to the Lord. I want to tell you something, folks. It's not just something that we do as filler space. It's not something that's part of the agenda. Now, maybe you think that. But I want to show you scripturally how imperative it is for you to understand and to believe what you're singing. Turn to Exodus 15, if you will, please. I'm a pastor, and I'm always looking for ways for my people to improve. The better they get, the less I have to do. I read a commentary once by a fellow. He said that every pastor should be working himself out of a job. For ways for my people to improve. The better they get, the less I have to do. I read a commentary once by a fellow. He said that every pastor should be working himself out of a job. And you know that's true. How many pastors do we have here tonight? Three. We got a few here. Praise the Lord. Good to have you. How many pastors we got here that aren't pastors that want to be pastors? How many prophets we got here tonight? Got any prophets besides anybody? Amen. How many prophesy? Amen. I saw a lot of hands go up then. All right. Now look at verse 1 in Exodus 15. Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to who? To the Lord. That's Yahweh.
and spoke, saying, now, years ago, I used to know a fella who had a friend, you know, one of those stories about a friend that had a friend that had a friend. Well, he had a friend that his father was extremely wealthy, and he was from the Indianapolis area, and they had a condominium in Florida someplace, and this man's wife loved Frank Sinatra. I mean, you know, different strokes for different folks. You know, somebody, some people like Meatball or whatever their name is, Meatloaf. I guess that's it, isn't it? But anyway, they like Frank Sinatra, and for a birthday present, Frank Sinatra was performing at some retreat or hotel around the area, one of the Miami area, I guess it was there. And this man hired Frank Sinatra for a personal show. The story is he paid him $100,000, and when he got done with his show, they cleared the place out. And this man and his wife sat in this large room as the piano player played and Frank Sinatra sang to this woman. I mean, I want you to get that scene in your mind for just a second. Here's this large motel room or whatever it was, and here is this famous star, Frank Sinatra, and somebody has given him $100,000 to sing just to his wife. With that in mind, I want you to imagine two to three million Israelites. And their audience is one, God. And here is God, and he is sitting here on his throne, and he's looking down, and he says, okay, kids, go. And they're singing to the Lord. I mean, can't you just imagine the scene? I mean, people are just dancing. I mean, they're happy, probably like us tonight, and they're raising their hands, and they're clapping, and they're singing, and they're really into this. You see that? Now, the first 11 verses, they sing to God what God has done for them. And let's just quickly read through that. And they said to God, Lord, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation. How many have the King James Version that says, I will prepare him a habitation? How many has the version that says, I will praise him? Those two things are parallel. They're synonymous. To prepare a habitation for God, translators say that means I'll praise you. You remember the psalmist wrote and said that the Lord inhabits the praises of his people? Well, here in the King James Version, the people are singing to God and they're saying, God, I'll prepare you a habitation. And we know by modern translation that what that means is, I will praise you. God, I'm going to make a place for you to come tonight and minister to me. God, I'm going to build a house for you by praising you tonight so you can come and fulfill all that you have promised me. Now, let's read on. He is my God. I will praise him. How many know that God was listening to this and he was saying, that's me. I'm their God. That's me. When they say, he is my God, that's me they're talking about. Goes on to say, you're my father's God. I'm going to exalt you. Now listen to this. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. And then they begin to explain where they got this information from. How do they know that God is a man of war? Well, because of what he just did. Pharaoh's chariots and his army, he has cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. And on it goes. And it talks about how he dashed the enemy in pieces. You've overthrown those who rose against you, verse 7. Verse 8, with the blast of your nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright like a heap. The depths congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake. I mean, oh, you got an enemy tonight that's saying that about you. He's saying it about everybody in this room. He says, I will overtake, I will pursue you, and I'll overtake you. You know, so how do you know the enemy's saying that? Because the head of the army of the enemy said this, God, I'm going to go up over your throne. You know, I'm going to exalt myself over the Most High's throne. Now, you tell me that an evil spirit, a demon, a minion under the devil isn't going to say to us, I will pursue, I will overtake. You bet he is. Now let's go on. They said, I'll draw my sword. But look what happens in verse 10.
You blew your wind, the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? And here is God receiving these praises from His people. Just like tonight. Just like, how many people here tonight are not saved? How many people here tonight are not saved and won't admit they're not saved? Now, verses 12 to 18. This is prophetic. They're looking ahead. Notice what they're going to say to God about what God is going to do for them. You stretched out your right hand, verse 12, the earth swallowed them. Or verse 13 to 18 are prophetic. Verse 13, you in your mercy have led forth the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them in your strength to your holy habitation. There's, Lord, you're going to take us to that promised land you promised. The people will hear and be afraid. Sorrow will take hold of the inhabitants of Philistia. Then the chiefs of Edom will be dismayed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling will take hold of them. All the inhabitants of Canaan will melt away. Well, these people are confident, aren't they? Man, we're going to go up in there to Canaan land, and I mean the Philistines and the Moabs and the Edomites. I mean, they're just going to melt away. Fear and dread will fall on them by the greatness of your arm. They will be as still as a stone till your people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over whom you have purchased. Oh, can't you just see them? Oh, till the people pass over, O Lord. Oh, you're just going to take us in. Oh, and just singing and shouting and jumping. Can't you just see them? You will bring them in and plant them in the mountain of your inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which you have made for your own dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. Now listen, and the Lord shall reign forever and ever. Oh, my.
Hallelujah.
Verse 24. And the people complained against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Chapter 16, verse 2. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said to them, Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat and when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Fear and dread will fall on them. You will bring them in and plant them. Oh, I'm thirsty. Oh, I'm hungry. You touch me. Oh, He made me whole. The Lord reigneth. You're everything to me, Lord. You're more than a conqueror. Did you sing that tonight? I won't leave here like I came in Jesus' name. Do you know that you sang those words tonight? And do you know that there was someone listening? The audience was the Lord Jesus. And all of these songs written by anointed men and women from the throne room of God, an anointed praise leader in an anointed camp meeting came and led us. And you sang these songs to God. And you're going to sing songs tomorrow morning and tomorrow afternoon and tomorrow night and Saturday morning and Saturday afternoon and Saturday night, three times Sunday and at least one time Monday. Are you going to leave here? And are you going to go out and say, oh, God, I got to go back home to that husband. Oh, God, she hasn't changed. Are you going to sit there when the altar call comes and Mrs. Coffey says there's someone here that has a spirit of such and such and such? Are you going to sit there and say, oh, I just sang that song that he touched me, but, oh, that's not me. God would never touch me. I want to tell you something, folks. And I love you when I say this, and I mean that. You're a hypocrite. Hear me. If the only reason why you sing those songs is to make you feel good, there's a God that's listening. And there's a God that says, listen, when you're thirsty, I got a tree to throw down in that bitter water. When you're hungry, I can raise up food out of the rocks if I want to. And I can set you free. But don't stand there and go on and have, oh, what a great time I'm having praising you, Lord, and not mean it, because I'm listening, saith the Lord. Folks, Jesus Christ is here, and He didn't come here just to hear our praises. He came here to manifest himself and reveal himself to us in this camp meeting. He came to give us the word of the Lord through men like Jack Harris, through Speed Wilson, through this man, Tommy Cook, through Glenn and Irma, through the Coffees. He came here to minister to you and I. He came here. These are not just words. He came here to set the captive free. And you know something? When we sing these songs from now on, I hope that you don't let your mind wander. I hope you don't let the demons come and say, oh, yeah, don't sing that. I wonder if everybody's looking at you right now. I wonder if you're doing the right thing. Forget what you're doing. Look at the words. Let the words permeate your mind and your spirit and your soul, and sing it to your God. Do it in faith. And I want to tell you something. When your epistle is written, it won't have this complaint in it. It'll have, and God brought them out of Lake Hamilton, and they went forth ministering. They went forth pursuing. That's what your God wants to do for you this weekend. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Brother John, and I trust that all of you take that to heart and that it will be beneficial to each one of you before you leave here. Well, I'm going to have to put this back up because Colonel Speed Wilson, 6 foot something here. So, Brother Speed, come and greet us here for a bit, and then Brother Jack will close this evening whenever the Lord gets through with Brother Jack. Well, then we'll say goodnight. Colonel Speed Wilson is Marine Corps retired. Many of you know of him. Some of you have never seen him before. He's retired from the Marines. He was at the Pentagon, 7 years?
A total of 8, yeah.
8 years at the Pentagon. Served under 5 presidents. Right?
Yeah.
Right. And had the, I don't know if you call it a privilege or honor, to sit at the table with some of them and wished he hadn't have been there.
True. But better have been there then than now.
But the Lord has given him insight into things that are happening in the nation and in the nations. And the Lord's blessed him with that and give us the privilege to understand what the Lord's doing. So we'll be hearing from him in at least 2, maybe 3 services, 3 times before camp meeting is over, telling us what the Lord's showing him for the nations.
Praise the Lord.
Brother
Thank
Steve.
You, Glenn.
And we're glad to have his wife, Ruth, with us.
Yes.
I told her she's not to ever stay home anymore.
Ruth, would you stand up, please, so they can see you. Praise the Lord. If there are any heroes in the Wilson family, you just saw her. So she stayed home while I was overseas during our marriage for a total of 3 years and 3 months. And leaving her with a couple of teenage kids the last time to go to Vietnam, I'd rather been in Vietnam. But she handled it rather well and outstandingly. Both of our children love the Lord, and they came the hard way. But bless God, they came. And they hang in there, pray for them, they will come. I don't intend to be giving testimony. I intend to be teaching. And saw the show of hands of people that hadn't been here. So we'll review some of the things that we've taught in the past. I've sort of taught the same series each time. But this time we're just going to give a brief resume of what we taught in the past. And we're going to launch into something new so you can get up to date. And the other messages are here if you want to get them. But so that you'll understand why I am the way I am is somewhat like Jack Harris served in World War II. And I know you saw what Jack went through. If you just finished the great celebration or memory, no celebration in memory of what happened on D-Day and some 50 years ago. And I know that what some of the younger generations that was history was seeing the sacrifice that it made, probably made them a little more aware of why some of us feel like we do. I served in World War II. I was a fighter pilot in the Marine Corps in the South Pacific when we weren't winning the war in 1943. And just to prove we weren't winning, I was shot down 3 times in 13 months. And we were being met 360 miles from our home base. We never got more than about 30 to 40 of us over the target, and we were being met by 180 to 200 Japanese fighter planes at a place called Rabaul down in the Solomon Islands off New Guinea. And my first time I was shot down, I spent 3 days and 3 nights in a rubber boat and figured I'd had it. My face was all beat up. I could stick my tongue through my upper lip, and this eyelid was cut and was hanging down. And I was picked up midnight of the 2.5 nights, to be correct, by a submarine. It turned out to be our submarine, but I was glad to see anybody. And I told God that if he'd get me out of that mess, I'd go to church. I wasn't raised in a Christian family. I was raised on a ranch out in West Texas on the border of New Mexico in a place called Andrews. That's one of those places, Val, where Jack lives, that you can look further and see less than any place on the face of the earth. And they got the driest riverbeds in the country. And so in 5 weeks of our first combat tour, we started out with 32 pilots, and 5 weeks later we only had 16. One of them turned up as a prisoner of war, Major Boyle. And but we had shot down 86 Japanese fighter planes, and came back to the States a hero. I always wondered what a hero. Now I know. Somebody, you just keep sending him out, and he just keeps coming back. If you come back often enough, you're a hero. And skip over to the Korean War. Wars were pretty close, about 5 years difference in there. Could still wear the same uniform from one war to the next. And went over, served as a night fighter. Now they call them all weather, because that's what we should have been called then. But we flew all the missions from sundown till sunup. But when the weather was so bad that nobody else could fly, that's when we launched. And in those circumstances, we had a lot of targets, because the communists move in bad weather and at nighttime. We lost a third of our pilots in the first 6 months. Went out there and when the thing first started in 1950. I was shot down one more time. Had to crash land Wonsan Harbor at 3:30 one morning. Hit by anti-aircraft up over the China and Korean border, almost up to Vladivostok. I was about probably 90 miles from Vladivostok when I was hit. A radar operator sat immediately behind me. Sergeant Lang had his right hand torn off at the wrist, and the port engine was gone, the starboard engine was on fire. Wasn't able to maintain altitude, but I was able to contact a Navy destroyer that had us on his radar screen, and he directed us nearest water was Wonsan. We had once been based there, but at this time the communists had it. By the way, we had the Korean War won at least twice the first year I was out there, probably the third time. And each time we had it won, we were ordered to blow up our ammunition and withdraw. It was the first no-win war. And there was a General Allman that was like General Patton, got highly upset and was going to go anyhow. And they killed him the same way they did Patton, ran over him with a truck. And, of course, you saw the reward that MacArthur got. But the destroyer picked us up. We knew he was coming to get us. And I still didn't know the Lord. In fact, that was my fourth crash landing in the ocean. I'd gotten pretty good at water landing. So they found out I'd flown more missions than I was supposed to fly anyhow. I was supposed to have been grounded after 75 missions, and that was on my 89th mission. I had seen the jobs that these aviators got when they quit flying, and I'd rather get shot at than some of their jobs. But they made me the sheriff of Seoul. gave me a 2,000 Marine MPs, and I became the provost marshal at Seoul. As my friends all said, old Speed's now the sheriff of Seoul. And that was an interesting time. came back to the States, and my wife and I discussed whether we should get out of the Marine Corps or stay in. We stayed up all one night and decided we'd stay in, because I had read the works of Lenin while I was in Korea, and found that they were doing exactly the same as they had. And they haven't changed today. Don't ever fault this garbage that the communism has collapsed. It's all according to plan. We'll be talking about that. And went back overseas in 1958. Was a jet instructor and a lot of other interesting duties in between. And if you've ever seen Top Gun, we were just starting the Top Gun operation down at Kingsville, Texas, when I was down there. But then in 1958, went back overseas, and I'd been promoted. I was 2 years ahead of some of my classmates because of my combat record, and I really enjoyed being a Marine, worked at it. And with Ruth's help, and you can't make it without a wife supporting you. I don't care what your profession is, particularly if you're going to do God's work. And but I still didn't know the Lord, and ended up in a job that was supposed to be a colonel's job, and I was a senior major. That was two ranks beyond. And there were three colonels on the base and the general staff and nine lieutenant colonels that wanted my job. And they didn't make my job a whole lot easier. I was a commanding officer of Marine Corps Air Station Iwakuni, a large base down by Hiroshima in the Inland Sea of Japan, still the largest military base in Japan. I had nearly 3,000 Marines in my command and 7,000 Japanese civil service running the whole base, cafeterias, everything. And I liked it because I'd had all the other jobs and I liked being the boss for a change. And because I'd had all the other jobs, I knew all the mistakes that those other idiots ahead of me had made. And I made enough of my own. You know, so we used to have a slogan in high-performance aircraft: learn from others' mistakes. You'll never live long enough to make them all yourself. But what I always liked, right in the middle of I got into a jet to check out a high-performance supersonic job, and right in the middle of the panel it says, engage brain before starting. That's good advice. Well, because of my infidelities and others as the red-hot fighter pilot and jet instructor and all that sort of thing, my marriage was breaking up, and that really bugged me because I love my wife and my two children. My daughter was born when we were doing the Incheon landing in Korea. A little bit of humor, too. I went in and told our operations officer, Major Bill Johnson, at that time, I said, my wife is going to have a baby within about 3 months, and I would request to be transferred to another squadron. He didn't even look up. He said, Speed, it's essential that you be there at the laying of the keel, but you don't have to be there for the launching. So, a few shipbuilders know what he's talking about. So I figured it wasn't much reasoning with him. So everything went rather well as the commanding officer, but it really bugged me because I knew the problem in my life was me. You know, you're here at a deliverance center, but I think most of us recognize, as Bob Mumford said years ago, said there are three demons I need to get delivered from: me, myself, and I. So things had gone rather well. I'd been involved in an operation, sort of like Oliver Noah. But in those days, in 1958, secret operations were kept secret. Yeah. And you didn't have to go tell it to a bunch of communists in the Congress and other kinds of people. I know it'll make you feel good. There's a guy by the name of Crockett that's the head of the North American Security, and he was locked up in World War II as a known communist. And he's in the Congress now. Our congressman, our senator from the state of Ohio, Messy Metzenbaum, belonged to seven communist fronts during World War II. Now they want to elect his son-in-law. Well, so the commanding, it was, I can tell you now what we did. We went down and helped overthrow the communist government in Indonesia, overthrow Sukarno and put actually a Christian in, and a large number of Christians in Indonesia. And so there were three of us that were being decorated for that operation. And I sat there, disgusted with myself. And I thought, well, you'll make lieutenant colonel, and then you'll feel better. I looked across the table. If there's anybody there more miserable than me, it was a two-star general. Sitting there drinking what he called clear olive soup. To you, that's a martini with an olive in it. His slogan was, I never eat on an empty stomach. Take you a while to get that one. So when I could, I left. And I went over to my room. I stood there in the middle of my room, a little 10 by 12 room. And I was thinking, God, there has to be more to life than this. If this is all there is to life, forget it. Now, I didn't have any thoughts about committing suicide, but I have witnessed two people who got to the point that they did, hopeless. And I kept thinking, now, I wasn't so dumb. I knew there was a God. I joined the Episcopal Church when I was a jet instructor down at Kingsville. And finally, I started getting an urge to go over and kneel by my bunk. Well, you know, we Episcopalians do a lot of that. We call it ecclesiastical calisthenics. When you're getting, if you don't know what the prayer book says, you'll be getting down when you're getting up and all that. But it was a humbling experience. And I know the scriptures now. I didn't know then. If you'll humble yourself before God, he'll show you mercy. And I sure needed some mercy. And I kept praying in my mind, and all of a sudden I realized I wasn't praying to a great big God out there. I was praying to a man named Jesus. I didn't make a decision, but I know the scripture now. There's no way to the Father except through his Son, Jesus Christ. My message is, if you get serious with God, you don't have to be a theologian. In fact, you'd be better off if you weren't a theologian. And then I got the urge to actually say what I was thinking. Well, that didn't make any sense. There wasn't anybody there to hear me. But I did anyhow. And I will assure you that that was the weirdest sound that I've ever heard. It was my voice in an empty room asking Jesus to come into my life and to show me a purpose in that life. And then, with no decision on my part, I suddenly was very ashamed of the sins I'd committed. And I just told the Lord, I'm sorry for those things I've done, and asked him to forgive me. Then a strange thing started happening. I started crying. I hadn't cried since my granddad John Speed died. And that was pretty confusing. I was feeling better, but I was crying about it. And then I found I was forgiving people who had mistreated me. I look back on it now. I hadn't been too good with them either. And felt better and better. And of course, I know you know the ones that you will say with your mouth. You know, it's very interesting. There's no such thing as a silent prayer. You've been to churches. Everybody have a silent prayer. Raise your hand. No. The Bible says when you pray, say. Repeatedly. When you pray, say. You know that silent stuff. And, of course, if you confess your sins, he's faithful to forgive them. And if you don't forgive others, he can't forgive you. All of those things are so clear to me now. And they were experiential at that time. But then briefly, very briefly, the next morning I woke up. Man, I was so relaxed. I didn't realize I was so uptight. I'd slept that night like I'd never slept before. Now, I started around 11 o'clock, and it was 3 o'clock before I went to bed, 3 in the morning. But boy, I was rested, and it was a new world outside. And I'll skip a lot of the things that happened in between, but that was about the middle of June, 1958. Well, 4th of July came along, big party, a drunken party out on the beach, and as the commanding officer, I was expected to go give a speech, and I did. And I told them what had happened to me approximately, and I told them that our nation had been blessed far beyond it ever deserved, and I was convinced that the reason it did, because we were basically a Christian nation and made no bones about it. And on all of our money and all of our federal buildings, you'll find somewhere in God we trust, and the Bible said, if you'll give me the glory, I'll bless you. And some of the Marines thought it was real good, and they came up and told me it was good, and I thought it was so good, too. I stayed around and got drunk with them. And so, well, going back aboard the base, I was sick. Not physically sick, but spiritually sick. The next morning, I couldn't get out of bed. My left knee was hurt, and very briefly, they sent me up to Yokosuka and found out I had advanced arthritis in my left knee. It hurt my right knee playing high school football, but nothing wrong with my left knee, and for 28 days, I lay around up there. By the way, I will tell you that I had seven chaplains in my command. One of them was an alcoholic, and the other was living with a Japanese girl out on the beach. But I did share one at a time with the other five, and out of that five, two told me I'd been born again, the Baptist and the Presbyterian. John Hammond, as I was explaining to him what had happened, he got grinning and grinning, and he says, "You know, Skipper, you got all the symptoms of being born again, like something you catch." Well, one of the symptoms was that I enjoyed reading the Word of God. And so, during the 28 days I was at the Yokosuka Naval Hospital, I read the King James Bible from Genesis right through Revelation, and I don't know how many times I read the New Testament. But one book that really got me, one night I went to a movie and I was so disgusted. You know, once you accept the Lord, some of the movies you go to, you just can't sit through them. And so I went over to the library and went over to the section that was labeled religion. Well, there was Edgar Casey, Ruth Montgomery, Gene Dixon. Oh, boy. And then here was a little red one that says, "The Normal Christian Life by Watchman Nee." I thought, that'd be interesting to see what a Chinaman thinks Christianity is all about. By the time I'd read six chapters, I realized I'd never known any normal Christians. I'd known a bunch of pew warmers, but I never... And he was given chapter and verse for it. Well, one Friday night, I was walking down the corridor, very depressed, in this great big hospital, had on combat gear or boots, clanking down the hall on a cement deck, and very depressed because the devil was telling me what had happened to me over in my room back at Iwakuni was just a hallucination. You get all psyched up. God doesn't have anything to do with people like you. And you know that's true. I don't know why God does, but thank God he does. I didn't know Romans 8:1. There's therefore now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. If God be for you, who can be against you? If God's against you, who can be for you? Is another way of putting that. And in that very depressed mood, I actually realized that Jesus was physically walking with me right here at my left elbow. I believe I heard his garments rustle, but I knew he was there. And I made a decision not to look because I'd read that you couldn't look upon God. And it felt so good just to have him there. And he took a few steps with me. And he spoke in an audible voice, and I heard it. I've not heard an audible voice since. And it was a masculine voice. He wasn't a wimp. And he said, "Fear not, I'm with you." And then he left. I still get Holy Spirit bumps. They're not goose bumps. A goose ain't got nothing to do with it. So I ran to my bunk, and all the drunks were coming in. I sat down and pulled off my boots, and I wanted to get somewhere where I could be alone. I remembered the emergency wing of this big hospital, and I went down, and the door was open. And just as I stepped through the door, there was a sign that said, "Head, Jack, that's a latrine. Toilet, John, water closet, whatever." And I opened the door and flipped on the light, and I can see it just as clear. White tile floor, and about halfway up, white tile up on the walls, and there were six urinals on one wall and six commodes on the other. There weren't any booths. See, the Navy Marine Corps believes in an open fellowship. You just come in and sit down. I once made the mistake of saying it wasn't a holy place. Really was. There were 12 holes. Huh? That's scriptural. Not get 12. What I meant was it wasn't a very sacred place. And I got right down between the urinals and the commodes, and I prayed an angry prayer. Now, I wasn't mad at God. It was a Japanese, Hagiai Watash. I was mad at me. And I said, "Lord Jesus, give me the power to quit doing the things I've been doing and give me the power to do the things I should be doing." And with that, was knocked right on the deck, or floor if you prefer, and started laughing hilariously. David Duplessis, I got to know later, and he did the same thing. So did Howard Knatzer. That's a good one. Howard Knatzer, a Baptist in Dallas, sitting in his private toilet one morning. And he's sitting there and he said, "Lord, give me the power to do what these Pentecostals do." "Oh, Lord, not that one." It was too late. Well, see, I didn't know anything about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but see, I asked for power. And laughing and crying, and a strange thing started happening. My tongue started flapping around. I bite it, get it stopped. So I know it's like a flopping eyelid. You just gotta bite it, get it stopped. And I wasn't out of it. I realized what a ridiculous scene. Laying there, between the urinals and the commode, laughing and crying and biting your tongue. And I knew if somebody came in, they'd smell my breath. If I was drunk, well, that's okay. But I wasn't drunk, and I'd be in trouble. They'd put that little canvas jacket on you, and you'd go off hugging yourself. And take you off to the silly bin. See if you can come up okay on a marble inventory. And I did suspect, you know, the thought crossed my mind, well, maybe I have gone nuts. You know, these things go through your mind, and I thought, well, if this is being crazy, it's not so bad. And I really don't know how long I was there. But I finally got up, went back to my bunk, and slept that wonderful, peaceful sleep. And the next morning, I slept right through breakfast. And the doc came in and threw the covers back. We did this every morning. And he says, "Let's have a look at your knee." And he looked at it, and his eyes got big. And I looked at it. All the swelling was gone. He said, "Let's see if it works." So he grabbed my ankle. We went through this every morning, too. Called it physical therapy, which is beastly torment. Torture chamber. And he gave her a couple of pumps, and it didn't hurt. And he said, "Well, what happened? You'd seen it the morning before." And I said, "Last night I did some praying." He didn't know what to do with that. But he did go down to the foot of the bunk and picked up the clipboard and shook his head. He hadn't recommended prayer. I don't know. But anyway, he hung it back up and went walking off and said, "Go get an x-ray." So about 2 hours later, he and another Navy commander showed up, and they had the original x-rays and the current ones. And I could see the kneecap neatly in orbit. It wasn't no calcium deposits. And they said, "We don't understand it, but you're fit for duty." So by 7 o'clock that night, I was back down at Ewakonia and took my command back from my executive officer. Now, people leave the impression that once you come to know Jesus, your troubles are over. I didn't find that at all. Because the guys that had been giving me a bad time got worse, and a lot of others joined in. But I found an interesting thing that I didn't argue with them anymore. I'd just say, "God bless you," and walk off. And that just drives them nuts. You know, my version of the scripture is love your enemies. It drives them nuts. But came back to the States. By the way, I could tell you a lot of interesting things. It was a new life. My four-letter word vocabulary changed. It just disappeared. Came back to the States. Still didn't know I'd been baptized in the Holy Spirit, but as Ruth can know, when we looked for houses, I just walk into one and say, "Well, this is not it." And she'd say, "Well, you haven't looked at it." And I said, "Well, this is not it." And, you know, your spirit can tell you. When the peace of God departs, you're not in the right place. But, very interestingly, John mentioned Derek Prince. I got to know Derek because Glenn and I associated with the Full Gospel. By the way, I'm back on the Full Gospel circle now. Full Gospel business then. But Derek Prince had heard my testimony, and a lady asked me, said, "How did you ever come to know the Lord? Like, you know, how could a Marine ever get to know the Lord?" And so she said, told her what had happened and about the tongue bit and what happened in the commode and all that. And she said, "Well, don't do that. Don't bite it." And so she gave me a tape. There was these reel-to-reel things, a little 3-inch thing. And it was Dr. Derek Prince's testimony. And he was a corpsman in the British Army in North Africa. And he was sitting in a horse stable on a log. And he, by the way, he was an Anglican also. And he said every Sunday we'd pray, "Oh, forgive me, a miserable offender." And he found that he could not be near so miserable if he just quit going to church. So that's what he did. He just quit going to church. But he said, "God, I know you're out there, and I'm not going to move off of this seat till you manifest yourself to me." The Lord knocked him off of the stump over him, and he started speaking in tongues. And when his stallmate, not the horse, but the other soldier came back, he couldn't speak English. And as you know, Dr. Derek Prince, he's not very humorous. In fact, he's very stoic, as some of them call him Prince Derek. But after I got to know him and he'd heard my testimony, he said, "You know, God said he's no respecter of persons, but he gave you a clean floor." Well, after three wars and 17 major battles and campaigns, I've come to the conclusion that the battle we're in right now is the one that will determine where this nation goes. The others were not near as serious as what we're in now. And it is a spiritual battle, and they'll hate you for no reason, just as Jesus said. In any battle, first you have to do is to know your enemy, know his objectives, know his tactics, and be able to identify him. Our job is difficult because...
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.